Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Estate planning is something we cannot ignore because, as we have learned in the past 2 days, if we ignore it, dare you ignore it, you're going to find yourself and your family in financial troubles. And we know when we speak of troubles, every other family has got that going on. And so today we'll be talking about family feuds or family harmony, things that we can mitigate against. Let's try and do that, particularly with regards to estate planning. And so we all know nothing stirs up drama and havoc in families like an unclear will in testament. I don't know how many times lawyers and financial planners have to tell us what exactly need to do. Now we know we need to plan our estates, and that's why we've invited somebody who knows better and who's going to be making sure by the time this conversation is over, we are all the wiser to deal with our estate planning. So if you want to avoid unclear or poorly structured estate plans, come join us as we discuss how thoughtful planning can ensure peace, not war, among your heirs and the rest of the family. And that's why we have joining us now from Olamera is our guest who's been here from Monday, will be with us until Friday. Her name is Nadia Pillay. Nadia, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us and teach us this week.
Hello, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me again. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you very much. Are you well, Nadia?
I'm good, good. Thank you so much.
Let's get into it. What steps can be taken to ensure clarity and fairness in an estate plan?
You know, like all things in life, you know, clear communication goes such a long way. And if you think about it, an estate plan works exactly the same way. What I mean by that is that if you use simple and precise language in your estate plan, people won't be confused with what your intentions are. If you don't use over complex jargon, everyone will understand who gets what. There's no confusion or, right, you know, twisting your words or anything. Also, another way to ensure that there's clarity and fairness in your estate plan is always making sure that your beneficiaries are always kept up to date.
Right.
I think there's nothing worse than having your estate plan read out and the wrong beneficiary or the incorrect beneficiary was nominated. You can imagine the nightmare behind that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it won't be a nightmare for you because you'll be dead. But for everybody else who knows, Daddy wanted this to go to that one, and then it's read incorrectly. I totally understand. Go ahead.
Exactly. Another way, although this isn't normally a legal requirement, but just for your own peace of mind and maybe for your beneficiaries, you could also include a letter of instruction. So if I want to leave my house to my sister, for example,
right,
I could use a letter to explain why I'm leaving it to her.
Okay.
Although it's not legally required, but it just makes, you know, synergy and peace in the whole family, and everyone will understand why. Also, if you choose an executor, you must make sure that it's someone who's impartial. That also ensures that there's fairness all around. I will know the executor is not being biased towards me if it's someone who has no conflict of interest, you know? So, yeah, just consulting or reviewing your estate plan regularly will ensure that it's always in the right space. It's always fair. If you can also check with like a professional attorney to make sure that your estate plan is meeting all the legal requirements, and you should be good.
Right. So how can involving family members in the planning process reduce future conflicts? I hear you talking about letters, but what about involving them?
That's so good, because most of the time you forget to you know, involve your family with your planning or anything that you do. And when the time comes to your estate plan now being read out, people are caught surprised and don't know, why did you leave this to this person, or why did you make the decision that you did. So having a family involved in your planning ensures that there's always open communication, you know, no one is caught by surprise. You manage the expectations in that they know exactly the decisions that you're making and why maybe you feel you made that decision.
Right.
Also, you're still alive, so if they have any conflict or concerns, they can address it there with you early on in the process, and as opposed to you being dead and then conflict is risen. So it just strengthens the whole family dynamic. I mean, they're able to also give you more perspective. They can give you feedback on what they think. It just strengthens the whole family dynamic
Yeah,
involving them.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
So you spoke of jargon and, complex and twisted language. Just add to that. What are common mistakes that we make that lead to family disputes over estates?
So, as I mentioned in the beginning, clear communication is something that does go a long way. And common mistakes that people often make is the lack of communication thereof, which means that without communication, there can always be misunderstanding, or with unclear communication, confusion can be risen, and people won't know why you're doing this, you're making the decisions that you're making. Another thing that people can make a mistake on is using vague or unclear language. And what I mean by that is, for example, if I have two beneficiaries that I want to nominate and both are my sisters, and I don't mention either of their names, so I make it sort of to say I nominate the beneficiary who's over 21. And it can come in that they can misinterpret what I'm saying, and maybe now there's dispute between the two sisters as in who was it for, if maybe, for example, they were both over 21. So maybe being clear in your language and that maybe specify exactly who you live in what for. Another common mistake that people can make is not updating their estate plan regularly. So like I mentioned before, if you don't update it, you can find yourself leaving incorrect beneficiaries there, or you left a spouse that maybe you divorced from and now she gets a portion of it.
Hey,
So it can get messy.
yo.
It can get very messy. It can get very messy if you don't update your estate plan. Or even if you fail to nominate like a contingent beneficiary or a secondary beneficiary. So if I nominate someone and they die before me, I would have to then nominate a second beneficiary. So failing to do that can also add on the mistakes and make just the whole process so much more complicated than it needs to be. Choosing the wrong executor, as mentioned before, also can cause so much friction. They might have a conflict of interest. Also, lastly, is not considering like tax implications. It's a lot of mistakes that people do. So if you don't consult with like a professional that knows about the tax laws and everything that's associated with estate planning, that can also lead to, so much confusion. And just while I'm on tax planning, I just wanted to touch on the conversation that we had yesterday on public benefit organizations. You did pose the question of whether you can donate to your local church, right? So definitely a church is qualified as a public benefit
That's good.
organization, but you must just make sure that it's registered with SARS and it meets certain criteria. Yeah.
I hear you. Lovely. That helps a lot. And
Sure.
for what it's worth, for what it's worth, I can imagine if we're talking about it giving the wrong people and the wrong spouse. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, it hit close to yo. All right, no, in modern day society, we seem to be shocked by the idea of blended families. I don't know why we're shocked, particularly as people of faith. We have seen blended families in scripture all the time, but it's a reality. We have people coming in with children to families, to marriages, and so forth. Let's talk about that. Should blended families approach estate planning differently? If so, how?
That is 100% yes. Blended families should approach estate planning differently. I think it's how you define blended families. It's like you can have stepkids, you can have adopted kids, you can have
Absolutely.
kids outside of marriage, you can have kids
Absolutely.
from previous marriage. So it can be so complex in that, which is why when blended families approach estate planning, they must make sure more than anything, I think more than anyone at this point, that they clearly define who their beneficiaries are. They must make sure everyone knows who gets what so that there's no confusion or anything like that. It's also nice that blended families can use so many protection measures like trust that we spoke about. They can make sure that they protect maybe the interest of their kids, ensuring that maybe a surviving spouse maybe unintentionally disinherits children from previous relationships. They can also establish guardianship for minors to make sure that the right person looks after your kids if you do die. There's so many complications that can come from it, but just ensuring that your estate plan is up to date and
Yeah.
everything is clearly defined, should be fine. I mean, blended families are, it's so common nowadays, and
Right, right.
I think making sure everyone knows where they stand is just the solid, solid standpoint.
Okay. And finally, and I'll let you go after this one, how can naming a neutral executor help make or help manage family dynamics?
So, as mentioned in the beginning, right, family dynamics can be caused due to mainly lack of communication. If I'm
Right.
not communicating or being clear with my intentions with my family, that can cause so many disputes.
Right.
And one of the things that I mentioned was impartial executors. So, appointing an executor who's not emotionally involved with the family,
Right.
that means that that person will be able to, ensure that they sort of mediate and give the family clear perspective.
Yeah,
No
yeah.
one is going to feel left out
Right,
or
right.
that the executive is being biased. So I think naming a neutral executor will just ensure that the family knows that everyone is getting what they're supposed to get.
Right.
There's no favoritism. It's a professional that understands what he's doing. He's not leaving room for any errors. He's managing the expectations. And
Right.
I think disputes will just be so much less if there's an executor that has no conflict of interest with the family.
Indeed, indeed. Wow. All right. All right. Thank you very much, Nadia. Really appreciate it. By the way, for those of you who don't know, Nadia is the practice manager at Olamira Financial Services. If you're wondering who those are, well, Olamira Financial Services is a well-equipped company to speak and help us on these issues of estate planning. So when we're bringing these conversations, we bring you people who have the capacity to teach you and help you because they darn are teaching me. They offer comprehensive estate planning services, by the way, including creation of a last will and testament, establishment of trusts, as she's been talking to us about getting a trust, a living trust, or all those kinds of trusts, deceased estate administration, like she's talking to us right now, and estate liquidation or liquidity planning. Their personalized approach ensures that each estate plan reflects the client's intentions and protects their loved ones. So all what she's talking about, it's something that she deals with on a daily basis. So if you need some help, they are there for you to get some help. Nadia, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate your insights.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.